What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
Man, what a Friday. The fog persists, but this fog's going to burn off and be a beautiful day today. Beautiful day today. We're looking at about 70. Well, actually, the clouds are going to hang around, but only about 75 degrees today. We'll take that. Sunnier tomorrow with a lot to do. What a weekend we have on Tap Buck. Let's think about that Joel Osteen story where the guy, the plumber, found 600 G's in the wall. What about me? Like on the weekend on Sunday, we got all our Christmas stuff out.
Yeah.
Out of the attic, which is in our garage. And so while I was out there, I cleaned out the garage, you know, blew out the leaves and stuff. And I found this old, you know, folding chair. And in it was a pair of shorts that I didn't know where they went. But I guess we'd gone to the lake or something, and they were in there. $40 in the pocket.
Nice.
Come on, man.
Nice get.
That's good. I'm like, now imagine 600 G's.
Yeah, I can imagine. I still go back to the guy in the Jeep.
That's a long time story on this show.
Long time story. That happened about 15, 20 years ago.
Yeah.
That was on Highway 620.
Yeah, it was out by the lake, right?
Well, not really. It was actually coming closer to...
It was down to like Cypress Creek Point there, going towards Lake Travis.
Oh, I know exactly where the Jeep went into the woods. It was a wet day, and the Jeep went off the road, no skid marks, no nothing, went into the woods, and all the wooded stuff covered the top of the Jeep for months.
They couldn't find it.
They couldn't find the dude who was in there. The dude was in there.
But he was deceased.
Allegedly, he was deceased and had pilfered some cash from his company.
Embezzled money or something.
Yeah. And Zay, there was like $500,000 in there. And I asked Hogan, I said, so if you came upon that, if you were in those woods or your car broke down there and you saw that, because... I said to him, I said, so what would you do with the money that was in the bag? He goes, what money? What do you mean, what money? There was money in the briefcase.
What briefcase?
What are you talking about?
I called police.
You called police, said, hey, there's a
guy in
the
Jeep.
Yeah, there's a skeleton in the Jeep. And the guy would say, hey, what about the money? See, that would always bother me, that kind of money. It was because the minute I bought my second Discovery Sports, or my Range Rover Zay, and then I got the F-Pace Jaguar, somebody from the mob is coming looking and say, who is that dude that just bought two of those with cash?
That was my take on the story, right? What money? I just found the guy. I just reported him. Because the Jeep had been sitting there for months, so anybody could have taken the money, right?
But they're going to ask you.
Yeah, I didn't see any money.
You didn't?
Well, then I saw No Country for Old Men, and I changed my mind on whether I would take the basket, the briefcase full of money or not.
You'd leave it.
Heck,
would
yeah.
You go in there and take a few? You'd probably take a few.
You ever see that movie?
Yeah, you'd take a few, though, right?
Old Anton Chigurh coming after me? Heck no, man.
Because they're coming for that money. Somebody's coming for that money, Zay, yeah. Right? You're not taking the whole thing.
Not that greedy.
But you're getting a little handful, aren't you, Zay?
Yeah, I'd dab a little bit.
But you're not taking the whole briefcase, right?
I might take the whole briefcase.
No, somebody is coming for you. As I said, the minute I bought Discovery Sports.
Then I go hide it like Steve Buscemi in Fargo.
Yeah, you got to hide it for years and years and years.
Years?
Yeah, it's a long-term investment. You can't go spending it. That would be dumb. But you also got to check it for tracking devices, like No Country for Old Men.
Unlike the guys from Goodfellas, like Goodfellas guys, once they got the heist,
exactly.
They went out and buy Cadillacs and stuff.
You would try. Hey, let's switch gears. We got college football this weekend. We got high school football, big weekend, pro football. But, man, how about the event at Cedar Park Center, HEB Center at Cedar Park tomorrow night? Or we were going to talk to Kenneth Reiner. He was on the line.
Kenneth, come back to us, will you?
We need Kenneth to call us back. But he is with World Championship Ice Racing. Now, this is the kind of stuff we like to talk about because this is the revival tour. It's HEB Center at Cedar Park, and it is ice racing. So, sheet of ice, right? It's the ice rink for the Texas Stars play hockey. And you've got motorcycles and ATVs racing on the ice, like high-speed racing. This is the real deal. And with that in mind, let's go to the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline. Kenneth Reiner, who as part of the World Championship Racing Series that will be at the HEB Center tomorrow night. This is an unbelievable watch, I have to imagine. And Kenneth Reamer is with us. Kenneth, how are you, my friend? Welcome to the program.
Doing awesome. How are you doing today?
Doing fantastic, great. Man.
All right, so tell us about this. 0-60 in less than 3 seconds, fast and fearless on the ice. How much fun is this, and how dangerous is this sport that you participate in, my friend?
You know, it is dangerous. You know, I live up in Wisconsin. I come from rodeo and horses and stuff back home. Well, I can't bring that to Texas. That's all familiar here, right? So if we're going to come to Texas, we're going to bring something from Wisconsin that you guys don't see here, and that's indoor ice racing. Number one, you don't see ice racing in Texas, right?
No.
Two, to see it indoors on a hockey rink. Most people are like, what? You're going to come inside and you're going to bring the best of the best, 10 bike riders, 10 quad riders from all over the United States for this pro tour. We're kicking off the tour in Texas, in Austin, Texas, or Cedar Park, Texas, 0-60 in 3 seconds. Basically, these guys get so much traction with Silver Rocket studs. You come out of the corner, you can wheelie from one corner to the next. Getting the traction and taking off is easy, but stopping yeah. and not crash and hit the person in front of you is a little more difficult.
Okay, so yeah.
Do the boards come into play here? Obviously they do, Kenneth, right?
Well, absolutely. You've seen guys come over the boards, climb the boards, hit the boards. You know, obviously they try to keep control. It's kind of like the four-wheelers are like mini sprint cars on a wild outlaw dirt racetrack, you know,
yeah.
Put it in perspective.
Yeah,
it
makes sense. I mean, I've been to the dirt track racing before, and so it's motorcycles and quads. And you know, how many are racing at a time?
Okay. So this is where it kicks in. You know, we start off with 3 inches of ice. So normally when you go to a normal race, you see a lot more laps. So what it's going to start out with is, 4 laps of 4 people in a heat, 4 racers in a heat, bikes and quads, 2 heats each. They go to an LCQ for the fight out for the last spots in the final, and then the final at the end of the night.
Unbelievable. And this is tomorrow night at HEB Center at Cedar Park. And it says here, Kenneth, it's razor-sharp steel-studded tires. I got to think you got that. I mean, this is all kinds of daredevil stuff. But, man, it's got to be high-octane adrenaline fun.
It is. And then also, we're the innovators and the only ones to do it. We call it the limbo. Guys are going to come down the straightaway on their motorcycles. They're going to dip them down as low as they can. Most of the time, they get them all the way down to about, the handlebars are just about dragging on the ground to get under that bar and back up, only to be seen at World Championship Ice Racing.
Oh, man, this is unbelievable. And you know what? You can watch the college football all day tomorrow and still get out there for the 7 o'clock event. How long will this last, you think? About a couple hours when you get the racing going, get a couple of pops in you, and have a great time?
Yep. We're going to have 2.5 hours, and they'll come down, see the guys, see the racers. We'll have a special guest. If we have any Chicago Fire fans out there, one of the stunt guys from Chicago Fire is going to be there. So you'll have to come down and see him along with all the racers. The kids can get autographs and meet all the racers just after the show. We got Scott Hollywood Dubler from American Flat Track is going to be our announcer tomorrow. So we're full of stars, bringing this first round down to Cedar Park.
I'm watching dudes just flat out get run over by these.
Video of this right
yeah,
now.
I know they got little spikes on them, as you said, but when somebody goes down, if you got an arm and a leg out there, these dudes just keep on going.
Oh yeah, it's if you get hit by a tire,
yeah,
no joke, it's not a good situation.
Yeah,
when we say the razor sharp studs, you guys come down and check it out. It is literally like chainsaws on ice ripping around that ring.
Golly, Kenneth, we appreciate it, my friend. This
Man.
Looks like a blast, and hopefully a lot of our audience can make it out there on Saturday night at HEB Center at Cedar Park. It's a one-of-a-kind event coming to Central Texas, and good luck with the tour, and I'm sure there'll be a big crowd out there because it sounds like an absolute blast, and we appreciate you jumping on with us.
I'm going to pray for safety for these dudes.
I appreciate you guys.
Thank you.
Kenneth Reamer, there you go. All it's right. The World Championship Ice Racing, Cedar Park Center tomorrow night. All the details at the HEB Center at Cedar Park's website, or just Google World Championship
Dude,
Wrestling.
All those things when you have racing. Them indoors, when you have vehicles like that, because I, you know, when I was at Illinois, I took my son, he was like 2 years old, he just, two or three, well, maybe he wasn't that young, but that dude wanted to go see the big trucks.
Yeah,
so
the monster
bad.
Trucks.
Yeah, so I took him inside. They were so loud that this guy started crying from the beginning of the monster trucks to the
Your
time
son?
I yeah to the AJ to the time I walked out of there with him saying, okay, 15 minutes into this, we're done, I'm going home. I don't want to see these monster trucks indoors because the smell of it was crazy. But it was so loud in there, this dude started crying. And it was like, it scared the hell out of him. I'm like, okay, a big monster truck guy, huh?
It is loud. But this sounds loud and fun, though.
Oh.
I mean,
did you see that guy's arm get rolled?
I did.
He went right over the top of that guy's arm. I'm like, okay, that must hurt.
I got to tell you, I mean, some of my highlights of my childhood were going to either the Astrodome to see the Daredevil. What was it called? The Destruction Derby?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was like a smash-up derby.
Sure.
They had all kinds of Daredevil things going on. That was a blast. I used to love doing that. And then, we'd back in Ohio, we'd go to the state fair and they'd do the crash up derby. Everybody got these old station wagons.
I just go to the Nazareth Raceway and watch the Andretti's drive on Friday nights.
But they didn't crash on purpose. But they would crash.
Oh, they would crash now.
That's pretty amazing. So, yes, I mean, that's ice racing. So there you go. Football's not your thing this weekend, and you can still watch all the football and get out there for the event. You missed the Big Ten title game, but see most of those games on Saturday. There you go. The Revival Tour.
Wow.
And there was a story. Remember, the Astrodome had like this, I just can't remember what they would call it. It was something in Destruction Derby. It would be the Monster Trucks, and then you'd have the Smash Up Derby,
mm-hmm.
which essentially was last car standing, right? Whichever
right.
car could still run would
right.
be the winner.
Demolition Derby.
Demolition Derby. So you'd
yeah.
start with like 15 cars, and at the end there'd be one left that could still drive. And I don't know, as a kid, man, you just love it. But they did one. I wasn't in attendance at this one. There was a guy that they billed it that some dude was going to drop from the top of the Astrodome into a barrel.
He was
of
the
water,
dude who missed the barrel.
And he died.
Yeah.
Like literally, he perished. And a lot of people sat there and watched it. Like the whole thing was Daredevil's going to drop from a barrel or drop from the Astrodome roof into a barrel of water.
The Great Walenda or something?
Yeah. And he didn't make it.
Zay, he missed the barrel.
It wasn't a stunt.
They missed the barrel.
Oh, boy. There you go. But you know what? It's adrenaline. And so if you ever run out to the old Thunder Hill Raceway with the small track, this will be kind of like that. But you ever seen the motorcycles?
Where oh, yeah.
They've got their knee down and they're putting their foot on the ground. There'd be a lot of that. ATVs well, that and
MotoGP.
Yeah, man. Somebody texted and said, can you repeat Lee Sterling's picks? Because I missed it. I had a boss called a meeting. Dang, boss. But Buck, let's run through these real quick because I need your Gold Star Lock picks too. But he likes Georgia to cover the 6 against Alabama, which you and I are in agreement on, I believe. He also likes Michigan to cover the 10 against Iowa. Cincinnati says wrong team favored game. He likes Houston not just to cover but maybe win it outright. So maybe think about Houston on the money line there. Oak State over Baylor, likes them. Just doesn't think Baylor can match up, especially with their backup quarterback. He also liked Baltimore over Pittsburgh in the NFL. But so to that end, Buck, when you're talking, Georgia and Michigan are very similar football teams when you think about it.
Yes.
They have game managers at quarterback, but they're both, you know, those gamers, right? They make big plays in big spots. They can make big throws. It's all based on their run game and all based on their defense. And if you
Georgia has skill wide receivers, too.
Oh, man, they got 5 stars all over the place, but they're not built on their offense. Their offense just complements what they do defensively. So Kirby Smart won't go for it on fourth down very often because he's going to punt the ball, play field position,
sure.
get his defense back on the field. And, you know, how is Alabama? I know you can't, what happened last week not going to show up the next week. I mean, that's just the way football goes. But watching Alabama try to move the ball against Auburn for 4 quarters last week, that's 3 points with 2 minutes to play or a minute and a half to play. How are they going to move the ball against Georgia? That becomes the question. What is Bill O'Brien going to come up with? He's got a very good quarterback, but their offensive line's a mess. And the biggest issue for Alabama is their problem is on their offensive line, especially in the interior.
Mm-hmm.
Their left tackle is going to play in the NFL for a long time.
But yeah, their quarterback likes to step up in the pocket. He looks like he's going to run, but before he gets to the line of scrimmage, he finds receivers downfield. He's going to get smashed by the Georgia linebackers when he starts running up in the pocket.
Well, that's because Georgia's pass rush, Jordan Davis,
is, and I remember way back in the, we know this who this kid is, but you talked about him when we did our Horn Top 20 countdown. You said you think he's going to be one of the best players in college football, and he has been.
Yes.
He's 6'6", 340 pounds.
Sideline to sideline guy, too.
Yeah, but he moves like, there's kind of an Ed Oliver-like thing to him. You know, or one of those, remember the Clemson D-line that they had a few years ago?
Yeah, he reminds me of the guy who didn't play last night for the Saints on the defensive line.
Oh, Cam Jordan?
Yeah, he reminds me a lot of young Cam Jordan.
Well, I mean, and remember, Cam Jordan's a defensive end, but he can play in the interior at times.
Right.
I mean, Jordan Davis, this guy is a monster. And that's the strength of the Georgia team.
Yeah, that's what I say. When that quarterback steps up in the pocket, if he's not behind you or he's in front of you,
and you
he's gonna, you're going to take a shot from him.
Ask Steve Sarkisian. I mean, you can't game plan around a bad offensive line. And Alabama struggles there. And this is the absolute strength of the Georgia football team, right in the interior of their D-line.
You're going to see a lot of hits right at the, you know, you're speaking of the echo of the whistle, E, you're going to see a lot of that going on. And Georgia's guys are going to be the guys throwing out that punishment to Alabama players. Kirby Smart is going to want to physically dominate this football team, which he knows he can.
So 6'6", 330 is what Jordan Davis is listed as. This guy's a monster. I'm looking at it thinking that, I mean, if they can, remember we had the sound from Shane Beamer, the coach at South Carolina, after his team, like every team, struggled to move the ball against Georgia, and the media, somebody in the media asked him, what was the problem? Oh, what was going on? He goes, you see those guys?
Five stars?
You see all those five-star players?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if anything was wrong with our game plan. We just
see what they do with their five-star players, what they look like?
They're just hard to block, and they are. I mean, they're very, very good, and that becomes a challenge. And people are talking about, well, then Alabama's, you know, Georgia's going to, knowing they can get in the Final Four, the SEC gets two teams that they lose. You know Kirby Smart wants to stomp a mud hole into Nick Saban.
Yeah, he's not going to do him any favors. He's not going to do the SEC any favors.
No. A, because
they don't want to see him again, for one thing.
They coughed up the national title of Alabama a couple years ago.
Right.
When they had the lead. And
got they'd rather be playing somebody like Cincinnati.
Right. And they don't want any part of Alabama in a month from now.
No.
In a semifinal game.
No, they don't want that. They want Cincinnati, somebody like that.
Because you could end up seeing Alabama in a month.
They would love to play Oklahoma State instead.
Oh, yeah. Especially with a month off to get healthy. I mean, yeah, the last thing you need is a healthy Alabama with a month off to get guys back and then to already has seen you once. No chance. They're going to bring their A game, I believe, in this one. And their A game is historically great defensively.
So this deal at the HEB Center, this is not Holiday on Ice.
No.
With Mickey and Goofy. And
no.
this is not Cinderella on Ice, what we're going to be seeing here.
This is not
awesome.
The ice capades.
It's not the ice capades.
Like, doesn't feel like that. Doesn't feel like that. But it's razor blades on ice, essentially.
Chainsaw tires. That's awesome.
By the way, I kind of like the same side of the Michigan game, too. I don't know what Iowa's going to do. Their offense is so bad.
Yes.
I saw a stat the other day, and I was looking for it. I can't find it. In games in which Kirk Ferentz's quarterbacks at Iowa in the last five seasons have a quarterback rating of 100. And a quarterback rating of 100 is not great, right? It's just pretty okay. They're 14-0. So when the quarterback plays good, but then the question becomes, why can't Iowa find a quarterback who can be, because if that just tells you, Kirk Ferentz, if you could find yourself a really good quarterback, and they got to be out there, they can have a percentage of 100 or more, you're not going to lose a lot of football games because you're good everywhere else. Their quarterback play is just so bad at Iowa, and their offense is so old school. I just don't see how they're going to stack up with Michigan.
No, I don't either. And that 10 points doesn't seem like very much.
And I'll say it again about Michigan. They're really a bad fourth quarter away from being undefeated, just like Georgia. And we'd be talking about them like Georgia because, you know, they got some quality wins in there, and they dominated a very talented Ohio State team. And up until the fourth quarter, they were dominating a very good Michigan State team. And they got outscored 15-3 in the fourth quarter, had a couple turnovers there that cost them, and Michigan State got the momentum and stole that game.
And by the way, when ESPN just started rolling in when I was in college, when they just had started up,
yeah,
I used to stay up late at night to see demolition derbies.
Oh, they were on TV.
That was a part of their sports deal.
I think I've told you when I was a kid we didn't have cable. We didn't. I had to go to my buddy's house to watch like MTV and ESPN. We just had the over-the-air channels at the Hogan house back in the day.
The ABCs.
I didn't have actual
CBS.
Cable where I lived until I moved into college at St. Edward's in 1991. Then I had cable at the dorm, so I could actually...
Well, it was no problem, because you, first of all, you were on the mean streets early.
Yeah, we
didn't have any cable there.
cable. Like, we didn't have cable television all through the 80s. No, that's why no one ever wanted to come to our house. I couldn't have people spend the night at my house.
Kids didn't want to come by?
No,
I'm not going over there.
No, what are we going to watch? You know, another round of WKRP in Cincinnati or something? Come on, man. We'll be back. B&E on the Horn, having fun on a Friday. We'll reset Bucky's Gold Star lock picks. We'll also make our picks in the Supreme Lending Charity Contest and getting you ready for a busy weekend. It's B&E on the Horn.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Friday on the Horn. It's a Bud Light Football Friday coming up.
And there's that Christmas music I've been listening, waiting for. Zay hitting it hard
coming
on Friday.
Up, just got a word from our buddy Jeff Howe, Horns 24/7, of a third Longhorn player into the transfer portal. Tell you who that is, as that continues to grow. Also, scary story involving a current Longhorn who's lucky to be alive today, based on the pictures I just saw. Details coming on that. But right now, let's go to the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline. He is a great friend of the show and partner here at the Horn. He is John McClellan of Supreme Lending, making the picks for charity and winding down the weeks. And the Horn is in the lead now. The Horn in the lead over Coke FM, John McClellan and Supreme Lending, and Chris Waters Realty. John, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing extremely well this morning. Boys, how y'all doing?
Doing pretty good, man.
We're doing great, and it's a big weekend. A lot of big games, championship Saturday on tap. Are you feeling good about your picks this week, John?
I'm feeling really good. I think Supreme Lending is going to be in the lead after this weekend.
It's all nip and tuck.
We had a good showing last week.
Well, and this week we won't even know who the winner is until who has the best week until Tuesday, because we do have a Monday Night Football pick to make. But let's start with tomorrow, 11 o'clock, Arlington Buck. It's Baylor and Oklahoma State. Anybody willing to take Baylor, or is it going to be the Cowboys in this one?
John, go ahead and take the Cowboys.
I'm torn on this one. I've been going back and forth on it, but I think I'm going to have to go with Oklahoma State at home.
Yeah, and so are we.
Yeah, Oak State, they beat them by 10 the first time and really dominated the game on the outgained them 2-1, essentially, and Baylor's with their backup quarterback in this spot. I think Baylor has had a great season at 10-2 to get to this game. But here comes Oklahoma State with a chance into the Final Four to pick up their 12th victory. Georgia and Alabama, again, Georgia heavily favored in this game, 6.5 points. Either side want to take the Crimson Tide to pull the upset, or are we going Georgia?
We're going to take Georgia.
Yeah, I think it's Georgia's year. I'm going with Georgia, too.
Feels like it. Houston and Cincinnati will play for the AAC championship theme. That game runs at the same time as the SEC title game.
There you go, John. Sounds like a good place to get some separation.
Yeah, I'm going Cincinnati.
Well, you're not going to get any separation in because we're going Cincy also.
All right, we're 3-for-3, and I kind of thought that's the way that would fall. But then in the NFL, L.A. Chargers on the road at the Cincinnati Bengals, probably the best game of the year of the early slate or the late slate there. 6-5 Chargers, kind of an up and down year, but very talented. Bengals 7-4 coming off the thrashing of Pittsburgh. Buck, who do we like in that game?
I think we like to go ahead and take Cincinnati. Cincinnati's on a roll towards the playoffs right now.
Joe Mixon's running like crazy.
Yeah, and what they did to Pittsburgh last week.
All right, John, what do you like there?
I'm going to take, let's see here. Hold on.
Get to your list.
I've made a few little tweaks on here. I've got to make sure I pick it right here. I'm going with the Chargers.
Chargers on the road. Wouldn't be a shocker because that's a very even football game. Vegas line is 3. And then the Monday night game, really good game. New England playing as good as anybody in pro football. They've won 6 in a row. When the Cowboys beat them in overtime, they haven't lost since. They're 8-4. They're in Buffalo to face the Bills on Monday Night Football. John, who do you like in that game?
We're going to take Buffalo.
Buffalo at home with Josh Allen. Buck?
I think we'll go with the New England Patriots.
Ooh.
We'll split that. I think Patriots. Yeah, I think the Patriots can get both of those games.
All right, so there we go. They're,
all right.
John, we appreciate your partnership, my friend, and always appreciate it and the charitable works you do in our community and with us here. And we hope you don't do well this weekend.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that, but it is all for good charities, and I want to give a shout out to mine, Seal Legacy Foundation.
Seal Legacy Foundation. I know that's
a great cause
and close to your heart. Actually, I do hope you do well because 4 of our 5 picks are the same, so I need you to do very,
right,
very good.
Right, that's right.
There you go. All right, gentlemen, y'all have a great
one. See you, buddy.
Thank you, John. John McClellan, Supreme Lending. I like Patriots.
The best thing for John this week is that the Longhorns aren't playing. He doesn't have to suffer through that. He loves his horns.
He does. And, and speaking of the Longhorns, a couple things. Jeff Howe just tweeted and let us know that Marcus Tillman, the linebacker, is into the transfer portal. Not a huge surprise. It kind of falls in line with Alvante Woodard and and Dele Adeyaway, and guys that weren't getting a lot of playing time anyhow, probably not in the long-term plans, finding other places. Those are the kind of things and players that I think the transfer portal is for.
Right.
Guys who were on the back end of a roster that can move without punishment, find a new place, maybe drop down a little bit. And Marcus Tillman's a really athletic linebacker out of the state of Florida. But, you know, he's a little undersized, which Pete Kwiatkowski, if you know, likes bigger linebackers in his defense. So they're moving a different direction. But Marcus Tillman into the portal. But, the biggest issue in the portal for the Longhorns moving forward, as we talk about recruiting, we've talked a lot about Gary Patterson getting involved potentially with Texas. They've got to upgrade the offensive line. We know that, right? But,
yes.
But they're losing. It was a bad offensive line to begin with, but you're losing Derek Kerstatter. You're losing.
Who made the All Big 12 team?
First team All Big 12 as of yesterday. One of the four Longhorns. Junior Angelau's a senior and can move on. Christian Jones will be back. Jake Majors will be back. You liked what you saw from Hayden Connor, the young one, but they're very thin. They only have 8 scholarship linebackers right now. And how about this? One of those scholarship linebackers, a kid named Isaiah Hookfin, kid out of the Houston
offensive
area.
Offensive lineman. Yeah.
He posted a picture, several pictures on Twitter. And gave a shout-out to LS2 Helmets. He said he had a major motorcycle accident, fractured 8 ribs, broke my collarbone, forearm, and lacerated my spleen, but my head came back in one piece with the helmet barely looking damaged. That helmet is probably the only reason I'm alive.
Well, I'm glad you're wearing your helmet, young man, for sure.
Golly, and the picture of the motorcycle is just in bad shape, to say the least. And he sounds like he's in pretty rough shape. So Isaiah
wow.
Hookfin, fortunate. But, that's with all those injuries, there's no way he's participating in the offseason workouts in the spring. I mean, he's going to be recovering. Long term, we'll see what the prognosis is. We haven't heard anything from the university on that.
I know the transfer portal is open, but, boy, I hope they find some nice high school kids that are offensive linemen that they can.
They have 2 committed now. Steve Sarkisian has said openly he'd like to get 5,
mm-hmm.
but the right 5, and we're kind of waiting on some big-time commitments from their recruits named Cam Dewberry is one, a big offensive lineman from the state of Texas. There's a couple of kids from Arlington we're watching. So we'll see. And they're going all over the country looking for offensive linemen because Kyle Flood has a great relationship.
Great.
And great ties. And they're going to – and then into the portal. They really do need to bring in some guys for depth but that are experienced players. Who can come in and help the football team. So there's your Texas conversation. We have talked to Gary Patterson quite a bit. And again, it's not just reports from like orangebloods.com, Horns 24/7. Inside Texas has the story. But the Fort Worth Star-Telegram, Mac Engel,
mm-hmm.
who has covered Gary Patterson's entire career in Fort Worth, his story today in the Telegram says and confirms and agrees with what the Texas reports are, that there have been conversations between the Longhorns and Gary Patterson about the former TCU head coach joining Steve Sarkisian's staff in some capacity, likely as a defensive analyst or in some role. And according to Mac Engel, he says that for the last few years, Patterson has told friends that whenever he left TCU, he'd envisioned a scenario where he would join a coaching staff in this role, potentially as an analyst or a defensive coordinator. So staying in and around the game. And the other part of that, Buck, is folks close to TCU will tell you that they felt like Gary Patterson kind of lost focus a little bit on the day-to-day. And, kind of
sure.
it is a grind. You know that, right? You do it 20 years. It's a 24/7, 365 job. And Gary Patterson's an absolute grinder. I mean, he is one of those guys that's always at the facility
mm-hmm.
and that maybe it slid a little bit. But, in a capacity like Texas is talking about, Steve Sarkisian is in that role, and you are an analyst and bringing your relationships with high school football coaches, your ability to evaluate and scout and develop talent. I mean, those are, and then of course his defensive mind. How could you go wrong with him helping your defensive staff?
Yeah, big prayers to Hookfin, man. That accident there, you could have been dead in that one.
Well, yeah, he said
slam your dome.
Yeah, it doesn't take much.
Helmet or not.
Yeah, very scary there, but also Longhorn fans with their fingers crossed. But, just like the local stories that I saw, Mac Engel confirms that Texas is not the only suitor, and Gary Patterson is going to take his time because there's a lot of jobs out there.
Sure.
But he does a couple things. Because if he's willing to be a defensive coordinator, they're going to be coaches hiring DCs coming up here, right? LSU. It's Brian Kelly's going to need a defensive coordinator. Could you do worse than Gary Patterson?
Well, some of them are going to want full-time guy, though.
Yeah, but I think Gary's looking to stay close to home, which is Fort Worth. We know he's got a close relationship with DeLoss Dodds, who's the former Longhorn athletic director. and you know that whole Horseshoe Bay coaches fraternity could do worse than you know, that's where Todd Dodge is headed when he finishes up at Westlake this year. He and his wife are going to retire out to Horseshoe Bay. You could do worse than that. And then, you know, as an analyst, you know, it, I don't want to say it's a part-time gig, but it's not the grind. He wouldn't have a recruiting role on the trail, you would imagine and envision. But, man, that would be – and he does obviously have a relationship with Chris Del Conte, who was his boss in Fort Worth for several years.
Yeah, and that dude himself would bring a certain toughness.
And that's what you need, right? Toughness, evaluation, defenses. Because, like, I don't think for a second Pete Kwiatkowski doesn't know – X's and O's on defense. That's why he's been,
right.
Last decade, he's been one of the better defensive coordinators out there in the Pac-12. But, you know, Gary Patterson knows this area. He knows kids in Texas. He knows all the high school coaches in Texas.
And no, he doesn't go out and badmouth anybody. He just will tell it like it is about Texas. And forever, he just thought they were soft.
Yeah.
Period.
I compared it to Dick Tomey when Dick Tomey came in.
He knew it was soft, Dick Tomey. He saw it.
Yeah.
And he helped change it.
He changed the attitude of the football team. You know, those 6 a.m. workouts that became famous for Vince Young, you know, a lot of that started with Dick Tomey, you know, being at the facility at 6 a.m., getting these guys up and going and weight work and helping Mad Dog and those guys get to bring the toughness to Texas with Dick Tomey. You could maybe help have the same thing happening with Gary Patterson. We'll see. We'll follow that story. But Oklahoma's interested in not the only team kicking the tires on Gary Patterson, so we'll follow that story. And come back. We'll wrap it up with the top stories. Reset that Cowboys win last night. Set up your weekend here on the Horn and get you ready for Light the Tower. And Light the Tower on location today, as are the next 3 shows. We'll tell you where and how you can help the Toys for Tots campaign when we come back.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Hey, coming up top of the hour, it is the Light the Tower. They're going to be out at the Total Men's location at Anderson Mill and 620. Get out there. It's the Toys for Tots toy drive today, Buck. Bring an unwrapped toy to the donates, and you're going to be qualified to win some great prizes today out there all day from 10 o'clock all the way till Texas basketball tonight. Chizos boots and gift cards to Good Stock and Mighty Fine and tickets, all kinds of great stuff. So just get an unwrapped toy, bring it out, be part of the Toys for Tots campaign here in early December. That is at Total Men's, the Total Men's location. Heck, can also get some blood work done or something.
Right? Absolutely.
Get yourself checked out over there. Be healthy into the new year. But speaking of Texas basketball, those shows will go all the way up to Texas Hoops tonight at 6 o'clock at the Irwin Center. And with that in mind, it's time for Isaiah Collier to give us the player to watch tonight in Burnt Orange.
The Player to Watch, brought to you by Covert Ford and Chevy of Hutto. Proud members of Covert Auto Group. Go to CovertHutto.com.
Zay?
All right, y'all. Player to watch tonight against Rio Grande Valley at 6 p.m. at the Irwin Center. I'm going to go with Jace Febres. He is now inserted into the starting lineup, and Andrew Jones has been really good coming off the bench, but Jace hasn't really found his rhythm yet. So look for him tonight to hit a few threes to get the team going, because you're going to need the shooters at the end of the day. When you got penetrators like Marcus Carr, Courtney Ramey, and Andrew Jones, guys like Jace Febres will benefit from that. So look for Jace to have a big night tonight.
Good call.
Very good call. Yeah, we'll be looking for that this evening. And speaking of the call, how was the right call last night, Zay? You had a special guest and a lot of good basketball talk. Hoops talk was right after Chris Beard and Longhorn Weekly. How'd we do?
Solid. Solid. Great show.
There's definitely a nap and some soup today.
Oh, yeah.
In the works.
Nap in the works. Can I just say that, you know, I know the game was in Memphis, but if a basketball team beats another team by 73 points and at one point leads the game by 80,
there's going to be some sprints run at halftime.
And the opposing bench, do you realize the Memphis Grizzlies bench outscored the entirety of the Oklahoma City Thunder team? Yeah, they only scored 70-some points, and the bench for Memphis scored 93 points.
Man.
No Ja Morant, by the way.
Without Ja Morant, their best player. Like, you almost want to give the money back. Like, the fans.
That's what I was saying. Give me my money back.
I mean, because Oklahoma City, if I'm Memphis, I say, no, you guys got to pay all of our ticket holders their money back, because that's garbage. You can't show up in a professional game and not even play. Because the only way to get beat by 73 points and be behind by 80.
That's if you just quit.
Yeah. I mean, just unreal. That's bad. On the good side, props to Jared Elliott and the Texas women's volleyball team. They beat Sacred Heart last night in the first round of the NCAA volleyball tournament. 3 straight games. They're going to play tonight. Chris Beard told us they're going to play their game with Rio Grande Valley and then head over to Gregory Gym to root on the women. They'll be in action tonight. And this legitimately, we heard Jared Elliott on Light the Tower earlier this week this is a team that can win the whole thing, Buck. They were in the national title game a year ago and bring everybody back except for their libero. But, you know, Logan Eggleston is back, and, man, that team is just dominating.
They are loaded, too.
And they're the number two overall national seed, and so big things.
Zay, we're coming close to playing Seton Hall and some of these other teams. Well, I mean,
we got to get the
Catholics in because we played the Lutherans, the Valleys, the Presbyterian teams. I mean, we got to get a good Catholic school in there, right?
Don't forget about Abilene Christian.
Yeah, yeah.
That was not good last year.
Abilene Christian.
But, yeah,
Texas
plays UTRGV tonight. But then, yeah, next, what would that be?
Thursday.
Next Thursday at Seton Hall in New Jersey. That'll be fun. Another true road game for Texas.
Really good road trip for them.
It is, indeed.
Last time I saw Seton Hall play, though, was against Ohio State, and that was a really good game.
Yeah, and Seton Hall beat Michigan early this year, but then they lost to the Buckeyes. Buckeyes beat Duke this week, so they're pretty
Buckeyes have got a pretty good team, basketball team this year.
Who's the coach there? Is that Chris Mack? Is that the coach at Ohio State, Zay?
I don't know who the coach is.
Yeah, I think that's who it is, but we know it's Ryan Day over at the football side of things, but it'll be interesting. Championship Saturday, Buck. We'll come in on Monday knowing who the Final Four will be. That'll be announced. You know, they usually announce that the Sunday morning before the NFL games get going, so we'll know where all the bowl games are going, who the Final Four is going to be. Georgia. It's going to be Georgia and Michigan.
Cincinnati.
And then who replaces Alabama when Georgia beats Alabama?
Notre Dame.
Oak State.
What about Notre Dame with their new head coach?
I think it's Oak State, if they can handle Baylor.
I think Oak State has to get it. I mean, that can't be just a close win. That's got to be
a
good win.
Well, I mean, what's going to separate it? They're both one loss. They both had a tough loss. I mean, Notre Dame lost their game at home to Cincinnati. Oklahoma State's one loss so far is at Iowa State by 3 points.
They need a 10-point win.
But you know what changes it? Championship. Big 12 championship versus Notre Dame not playing in a conference title.
Absolutely.
That 13th data point, as they call it, will likely be the separator. But got to go win the games, and we'll be talking about those for sure on Monday. Also, the rest of the NFL.
Cowboys, Roll Tide.
You're not picking Alabama. Hunker down, dogs. Hunker down. Zay, have a great weekend. Buck, have a great weekend.
You too.
Remember tomorrow
guys, be
morning,
safe out there.
Remember, the guys are out. Everybody's out at the Toys for Tots live broadcast all day today out at Total Men, 620 and Anderson Mill.
Yeah, next couple mornings, you're going to get that fog in the morning. So, folks, be careful out there shopping.
And be careful this weekend. And our Saturday morning lineup returns tomorrow after a lot of 11 a.m. games. It'll start with the golf playing through. That's 7 a.m. tomorrow morning. Have a wonderful weekend, everybody.